Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR.
Welcome to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. Or maybe you could be one of our podcast listeners, however you've decided to spend this hour with us. We are very, very, very glad to have you. So it has actually turned out to be a really wonderful hot day, which I think is absolutely timely because when it gets hot, we get sticky and sometimes we forget to breathe. And breathing is such an integral part. A lot of sex educators and therapists recommend having a breath practice because it's very important to get in touch with yourself before you can connect with the partner. So tonight, I'm very excited. I've got a very special guest on the show who I was introduced via Facebook. Thanks to the lovely Beljeet Riot, who has been on the show several times. And this lovely lady who is calling in is going to be in town doing a workshop on slow sex and orgasm. I was going to say orgasmic masturbation, but that is not right. Orgasmic meditation. And I guess that shows where my mind is these days. But on that note, I'm very excited to welcome Ms. Jenny Ferry to the show. So welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. So I'm really excited. Your workshop's coming up very, very soon. So not this Saturday, but I believe it's the Saturday after on the 28th from 1 to 5. And I love that. Orgasmic meditation and slow sex. I think all of us would love that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I'm going to ask just how did you get into doing this work?
That's a great question. Thanks, Caroline. You know, it really started out, my background is in higher education, and I transferred some of the skills that I was doing there, coaching and mentoring undergraduate students into life coaching when this started to open my own practice about 5 years ago now. And in the course of working with people, I realized there was this enormous piece of the pie missing that people were not, it wasn't part of the coaching conversation, and it was around intimate relationship and sexuality. It was sort of this, it was a given, like, oh, either you're in partnership or you're not. Great. How's that going? Good. Okay. You know, more on to the life goals and career and all these other areas. And this piece wasn't being unpacked and taking a closer look at. So that was the first way it came across my plate. And then secondly, I had just come out of a long-term relationship about 3 years ago now. And not having been in the dating market myself now for 12 years, I at that time was like, wow, I'd really like to know how to approach this consciously, my sexuality consciously. And I would say this, you know, you and I were talking about this before, but what I noticed coming out of that relationship, particularly, is my sex was shut down.
Yes.
And, it's really uncanny, but 3 weeks out of that relationship, my sex woke up. And it was hungry, and it wanted to know where the buffet was. And so the first thing I did was like, wow, how do I approach this? Like, how do I really know how to dive into this work mindfully? And it was about that time I learned about the slow sex work that was being, was just getting taken off in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. So that was the doorway for me. I had a colleague in the Bay Area who had introduced me to this work, and I decided to check it out for myself. And once I did, I realized how nourishing, how rich, and how it was bringing this mindful approach to sexuality that I wasn't seeing, hearing, or feeling about anywhere else. And, it's been fabulous ever since.
I think that's awesome. And I just want to clarify for people who do not know what slow sex is, that it's, and forgive me, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I want to say what it is not genital friction. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. And
right. I like to call it drive-by jackhammer sex. It's not that.
No. even though that can be fun sometimes, it's not, as you put it, it's not the full buffet. It's not the whole menu.
Absolutely.
And in terms of how to get into that, so I want to visualize. So people come on the 28th and come, in quotes, to the workshop. And what are, I'm trying to get a visual here. Are we all on mats on the floor? And is it, it's men and women, which I thought was interesting, that can come, which I think is really cool. And basically, what does it look like? Like, it's not like an orgy or anything, because I know sometimes people think that when they hear about slow sex, and they're like, oh, my goodness, what is this? And with tantric work as well, where they go, oh, my gosh, am I going to have sex in front of all these people? What is the workshop?
Yeah, that's a great question. So let me back up a little bit and just say a little bit about more what slow sex is.
Thank you.
So a lot of us have maybe come across the concept of slow food or the slow food movement. And this is a place where we know that our experience is enriched by, you know, eating locally or having this space where we're not distracted. We're actually engaging with the food. We're tasting it. We're smelling it. We're touching it. We're creating experience for ourselves. And there's lots of room within that experience to savor. Mm-hmm. Right, to be nourished, to be enriched by our experience. So it would be those same concepts applied to intimate relationship and our sexuality, first of all. Another way I've heard slow sex explained is it's cultivating intimacy at the speed of connection.
Cultivating intimacy at the speed of connection? Intimacy mm-hmm. at the speed of connection. Wow. No, I think that's really, really key work. There is a tantra practitioner called Tanya Diamond, who I've had on the show. Actually, she's out of the Seattle area before. And there was a workshop where there was probably about 15 couples around, and myself and a reporter from the Georgia Strait were there, which they put us together to do all the work. But it was fascinating when she asked everybody what they wanted to get out of it. Intimacy came up a lot. But yet when she went around and ask people specifically to write down what intimacy was to them. For some people, it's a hug. Other people, it was sex. Other times, it was a massage. It was really interesting where everybody had a different concept. Mm. Other people was, I just want my partner to talk to me.
Sure. Yeah, so there's a couple of things here that I'm already hearing is that it's really important to create distinction. Right? Mm. When you say intimacy, when I say intimacy, well, what does intimacy mean to you? Mm. Right? What does connection mean to you? These are great places to just start having conversation within our partnerships. Mm-hmm. So in answering your question about what does the workshop look like, mm-hmm. First of all, there's no nudity or sexual contact involved.
Okay.
The first half of the workshop, we explore some of the basic concepts of slow sex, which are simplicity, attention, and desire. So with that, I spend some time unpacking that or talking a little bit about that, and then there's some paired exercises. So it's mm-hmm. really fun for singles and couples. You know, if you come to the workshop partnered, great. Mm-hmm. You can practice with your partner, or you may want to spice it up a little bit, practice with someone else. And if you're single, there's plenty of opportunity to practice with someone. So it's always a great mix of people, and everyone gets an opportunity to participate. So there's a little bit of discussion around each one of those concepts, and then a paired exercise. So you get to, you know, hands-on right away, apply what you've learned. Again, it's PG rated, as I said. Mm-hmm. And then the second half, when I look more specifically at the practice of orgasmic meditation, that's a sexuality practice. And okay. I introduce it through a small, short 15-minute instructional video, some time to explain the technique. And then I open it to Q&A because it's a practice I've been involved in for about 2 years now. Mm. And I love to give, you know, anecdotal information, things from my own experience that I can share and allow people to just be curious.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a big part of this work, right? in creating intimacy and connection, it's all your natural curiosity. What turns you on? Where does your desire go? It's a great place for us to explore.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's fantastic. So since you've been doing this work, what are some of the interesting results you've seen in some of the people you've worked with? Some kind of high points when you've seen those stories? It's just like, wow, I'm doing exactly what I'm meant to do at this moment.
Wow, that's great. You know, it really runs the gamut. I will say, you know, I'll start with my own experience. And it really gave me back my sex life in a way that I didn't think was possible. It brought me into connection and intimacy and sensation in my body in a way that I didn't know existed. Mm. So, let's see, the biggest takeaway for me and what I've gained is the ability to feel more, to feel deeper, and to be more present with sensation in my body.
Okay.
So my experience, you know, my interactions with a partner are much richer, much, much more nourishing than I ever knew before. On the other end, I literally worked with a woman who hadn't had sex in 17 years.
17 years? And,
yeah.
Okay, I just had to clarify. Wow, that poor lady.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it wasn't for lack of desire, but there was fear. And that's a really interesting piece that we look at.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We often think that love is the antithesis of fear. That's a common duality that or polarity that's expressed in our society, when it's actually desire. So fear is an indication that there's desire there.
Okay.
So that was a really getting through the smog layer of fear. That's that on top of her desire, you know, and wanting to have sex. And, of course, having that length of time, that huge gap of time there, really was really hard to get started. So what I would say that I found with this work is there's a lot of it's important to be in self is what I call it, or your true essence, right? Where you come without any mask or persona to the table, and you're curious, compassionate, and lighthearted.
Hmm.
And it requires rigorous honesty and vulnerability and transparency to be in that place, right? These are things that we go, really? Like, can I be that honest? You know, if I reveal myself, am I going to be rejected?
And
these are places we all know.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's none of us that are immune from that that sense around our vulnerability. Stepping into desire, right? Someone who hadn't had sex in 17 years be able to now have a rich and nourishing sex life, create that for themselves.
Hmm.
That's exciting.
That is very exciting. How do you create a safe space for people who come to the workshop? Like when they first get there, what is one of the best ways to, because it's, of course, people that have perhaps never met each other before, and coming to a room, which sometimes, to be honest, is easier to talk in front of than sometimes your closest friends and partners, but creating a safe space for them so that they can do the work and be as honest as they possibly can with themselves.
That's a great question, Caroline, and it's a huge foundation of this work, at least in my book, right? We have been socialized and acculturated to create physical safety for ourselves. That's generally where the majority of sex education programs come from, right? Put on a condom, like, here's the things you don't want to get.
Yeah.
And most of us don't know how to create emotional safety for ourselves or for others. So it's a huge part of this work. So it's really the baseline. When people walk through the door, you know, we ground ourselves and become present to the space together. And then I ask for agreements around the room mm-hmm. before we get started. And, you know, things where nobody gets to be wrong, right? Mm-hmm. It's an agreement that we're going to be there with curiosity and not with judgment. So there may be something that comes up within ourselves or something that we hear in interaction with other, that instead of going like, oh, right, and where we find ourselves going to that edge of judgment, maybe asking ourselves a question like, oh, okay, I'm curious about that. So it's setting these agreements in place to create emotional safety, that being one of them, right? No judgment. Confidentiality is another one. Asking people to take personal responsibility for their own experience. That means everything's optional, right? Yeah. They can have their boundaries respected, both physically and emotionally. We ask permission before entering someone else's space. Those kinds of things. And it's fun to go around the room, right? The confidentiality one, I like to call it the Vegas rule.
The Vegas rule, I like that.
Right? What happens in slow sex stays right here in slow sex.
That's awesome.
So I think having those agreements as ground rules before getting started is critical.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's really, really key. I have a weird question for you. Have you found since books like 50 Shades of Grey and just that trilogy and books like that have become more mainstream that people are asking more questions and being a little bit more frank in regards to wanting to explore their sexuality?
I think that's great. And I don't find that a weird question at all. I think it's a great question. Yes, absolutely yes, right? It brings the topic front and center. When we... you know, see Saturday Night Live parodies, and it's on every blog or every place that I look. There's another review of that trilogy. I go, of course, right? And this is, it brings up a lot of discussion. Mm-hmm. And then there's a lot of questions, like, oh, is this also yet just another picture that's being handed to me by mainstream media? I don't know. I haven't read the books myself, but I would say that that's a great place to question, because most of us accept the picture, right, the paradigm of sexuality that we've learned, and that's generally where most of the sexual education comes, through mainstream media, including erotica and a multi-billion-dollar porn industry.
Yes. And pornography, I'm going to quote Sherry Winston on this one, which pornography should, if you're going to watch it, it should be entertainment, not education.
That's great. I've never heard that, but I would agree.
Yeah, because it's really, really important. And I found it interesting. Again, I'm going to go full circle back to the top of the conversation where you'd mentioned about when we get sex ed in school, it's about what not to do, be careful about this, be careful about that. Is it any wonder why in society, why sometimes sex does feel like jackhammer sex? And it's like eating a really, sometimes really junky dessert, like a bag of potato chips, then you just want to go and puke it up afterwards. It was fun while you were down, but it wasn't so great in your stomach afterwards.
Right. I liken it to going through the drive-thru at McDonald's. Right? It's okay once in a while, but you certainly don't want to eat like that all the time.
No. No, definitely not. So from 10... go on.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, really to cap that conversation around things like 50 Shades of Grey, yes, I would say yes. There's a lot more, what I'm noticing just generally, is there's a lot more of this topic being brought to the surface. People want to have these discussions. People want to be in a clean, well-lit space where they can speak openly and honestly around sex. So I'm absolutely seeing more and more of these conversations, and I'm so thrilled, you know, in the position that I am professionally, to see this happening.
I think that sounds fantastic. We are going to take a really quick short break, and when we come back, we're going to be chatting some more. You're listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be back in just one moment.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the UBC Westside area at
The Australian Boot Company, Banyan Books, The Bike Kitchen, The Eatery, Fresh's Best Salsa, Gargoyle's Grill, Gumdrops, Prussian Music, Rufus's Guitar Shop, and the UBC Bookstore.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or check us out online at citr.ca.
Despite the fact that 8 in 10 Canadians are against warrantless and costly online spying, the government remains stubborn, set to cement this scheme into law. With their huge PR budget, they've unleashed a reckless and irresponsible campaign that suggests warrantless collection of our private data is on par with a phone book. We can't let them trick Canadians. Go to www.openmedia.ca now to find out what you can do to get involved and stop this smoke and mirrors campaign the government has started.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts downtown at
212 Productions, Beat Street Records, Blim, Dream Apparel, The Fall Tattooing, The Kiss Store, Heart and Soul Clothing Inc., Hits Boutique, Pacific Cinematheque, Scratch Records, Vinyl Records, Woo Vintage Clothing, and Zoo Shop.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or check us out online at citr.ca.
And we're back at Sexy in Van City Radio 101.9 FM on CITR. And if you are just joining us right now, I'm talking to the lovely Jenny Ferry, who is calling in from Seattle, and she's going to be in Van City on July the 28th from 1 to 5. She's going to be doing an awesome workshop on slow sex and orgasmic. I don't know why I'm having such a difficult time saying that. Orgasmic meditation. First I was orgasmic masturbation, and that time I was just going to say orgasm. So I just kind of got stuck on that word today. So I'm not sure why my mouth's having difficulty getting around that, but I'm very excited to have Jenny on the show if you're just joining us right now. We've been chatting a lot about the workshops, and she's got some really great things coming up. So I'm really excited that she'll be in Vancouver. And as well as that, she's also working on a book right now, which is pretty cool. So do you want to share a little bit about that?
Sure, absolutely. Thank you. Yeah, it's been such a pleasure to dive into this work. And you can take that whichever way you want to. Right? But I've done a lot of exploration, and as I've continued to do research, I've really wanted to tease out some of these pieces for people to practice in their own home, like creating emotional safety, knowing how to be in self, having some of these basic elements for creating conscious sexuality, and really what it looks like step by step with exercises and more information so people can really practice at home. So I am writing a book right now. Its working title is Soul Sex: Creating the Conscious Connection You Crave. I expect it out in the latter half of 2013, and I'm just really excited. It's been a lot of fun doing the research, meeting people in neuroscience and other fields, and sort of taking these disparate pieces and synthesizing them into this whole work around conscious sexuality. So I'm very excited about that.
That's really cool. What is conscious sexuality?
That's a great question. So what I like to think of it as is that I'm fully present, and there are not only things, there's a lot that lurks in the shadows is what I would say.
Okay.
This is right, the shadows of our psyche.
Mm-hmm.
We have things that we desire And we have judgment within ourselves around that. We have an internal editor that says, oh, that's not appropriate, right? You can't want that. You can't have that. Wherever we've gotten those messages. But the thing is that we suppress those, we repress those desires and urges. And what happens is when we do that, they come out and kind of, they leak out in kind of funny ways. So it's really about exploring.
Okay.
The pieces of ourselves and of our sex and our intimacy that maybe haven't seen the light of day. And so what I'd really like to say here is that that can show up as either light or dark desires. You know, I want to characterize that as not good versus bad.
Mm-hmm. It's just, can you give an example of how those shadows would leak out? And how doing some of the work in terms of the conscious sexuality can clear some of that.
Yeah.
Like perhaps maybe with the women we were talking about in the first half who hadn't had sex in 17 years, and through doing the work, she was able to welcome healthy sexuality into her life after doing some of the work, clearing some work. I imagine she must have had some shadows. I know I don't know her personally, so I don't know, but perhaps she might be an example of someone that we might be able to chat about.
Yes, I don't. Thank you for pointing there, and I'm not sure specifically in that situation, but I am thinking of another situation where there wasn't a really clean and clear communication between a partnered couple I was working with.
Okay.
And what happened was the woman had she had the stronger desire for sex within that partnership. And because she wasn't voicing that desire, she ended up self-pleasuring a lot more. And what happened was it became sort of this vigorous practice of self-pleasuring or masturbation.
Mm-hmm.
And to the point where she was actually like chafing herself.
Wow.
Hurting herself inadvertently. But it was because she wasn't being conscious in that. Number one, around voicing her desire cleanly and clearly, right? And having the skill and the willingness and the safety to unpack that within her partnership. And then number two, it was just she's trying to fulfill that desire in a way that maybe wasn't as healthy and generative as it could be.
Okay.
So when I look, that's the question I ask, and I would ask your listeners to pose to themselves and to their partners, you know, when I engage in this activity, is it healthy and generative to me?
Is it healthy and
generative? Right?
Okay.
It's bringing more vitality to myself and to this situation.
Okay.
So she had an opportunity to either create a conscious conversation and then conscious interaction with her partner around her desire for more frequent sex, or she put, you know, she kind of hid that. She withheld that information, had fear around that, and then resentment is what happens when we don't unpack these things. And so turned that on herself and that trying to fulfill that desire through self-pleasuring, which is neither right nor wrong. I want to be really clear about that,
Okay. Right?
A lot of acts, a lot of ways of being, a lot of ways of doing things are actually in and of themselves neutral, but it was the motive. It was the fact that she wasn't clean and clear around her desire, that she started like unconsciously engaging in almost a compulsive activity around masturbation.
And I'm just curious in regards to if, because you mentioned in terms of chafing herself too, so it was very rough, if there was some guilt attached to that too, about feeling bad, about wanting it more than the partner. And sometimes I think when it is a situation sometimes as a female, I'm generalizing here, just because I remember the way we're taught in school as a kid, it's like, oh, you know, it's your responsibility to say no, and they're always going to be after you. And one day you wake up and all of a sudden it's just like, yeah, I come get me. And why aren't you chasing me anymore? What's happened? Where, of course, hormonally, as we evolve and continue to age, our, you know, our desires do change as men and women. So, and I don't think anybody really preps us for that. So it's kind of a shocker.
Yeah, that's exactly true. You know, desire isn't static. It's very dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And to answer your question, you know, I'd like to create distinction between guilt and shame. And that comes from the work of Brené Brown. She's a shame researcher out of the University of Houston. Most people have seen her very popular TED Talk, The Power of Vulnerability. Mm. But there was shame for her, right, when she actually internalized, like, I am bad for doing this, right? That shame where you actually take on that identity versus like, oh, this behavior isn't the best. That's guilt.
Okay.
And yes, there was, you know, and then it took her time to work through that before she could actually come consciously to go, my desire is here. I want more frequent sex. I'm willing to have this conversation. I know how to create the conditions to have safety within this conversation with my partner. Now I can create what I want.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And those conversations are so important to have. When embarking on a new relationship, how is there a way to set up the framework just so that those conversations can start to flow? Or
yes.
Is it different each time?
Absolutely. I mean, that's specifically why I'm writing the book, Caroline.
Thank you.
Because I believe those pieces of creating emotional safety, number one, are what allow us to go into this space of rigorous honesty and transparency, where we know we have agreement not to judge each other, not to make each other wrong, and to be there with generosity and compassion, so that it is okay to say these things and to express what's truly there for us.
Okay.
And then to be in support of that. I think that's one of the biggest things, to know that there's someone there who cares enough to support your desire.
Hmm.
I think truly, like, underneath, that's our true human nature. Like, I want you to have what you want. I want you to be happy. I want you to be fulfilled. I want you to be nourished and feel good. Right? There's not any of us who, when there's someone we care about, that's the space we're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just articulating those things and reminding ourselves, and that's a moment-by-moment decision, the moment-by-moment agreement to show up that way.
And I think that's fantastic. You also have your project that you wanted to do as well for, I believe it's college-age kids as well.
Yes, okay. Thank you.
You're
right,
welcome.
It's been wonderful to work with the adult population, and I mean, I've worked with people in their 20s up to people almost in their 70s around their sexuality, and so it's been so much fun. And what I've realized is that this greatest place for us to explore our sex is generally why we're in college, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those years are very ripe and juicy, and a time for most of us to really dive in to exploration and discovery. So there is a group of consciousness leaders out of Naropa University, which is in Boulder, Colorado, which is where my home base is. And I was asked to come on board and create a piece around conscious sexuality. So I'm so excited to be a part of this. It's a project that is launching in October called Celebrate You. There will be a free downloadable curriculum for students to download, and it's going to go out to tens, if not hundreds of thousands of college students in the U.S. and Canada, where they'll be able to have some information around mindful eating, mindful movement, mindful sexuality, and I'm just thrilled to contribute to that piece. And then ways for them to create conversation and community events. So it's really a call for students to celebrate themselves and celebrate their wellness, their self-care, their consciousness, and being community around it.
That's fantastic. How did you get involved with that?
You know, it's in this community of, it was just through colleagues, people who had the same desire to give back and be in service to a greater population around this work. I think, you know, Caroline, I'm sure you feel this. Some of the other people and guests you've had on the show, I know your listening audience, they're aware that that is the way we're moving mm-hmm. in the world today. It's towards more mindfulness, towards more consciousness. You know, there's things that we're all asking for as part of our human experience, you know, to pay more attention to how we treat each other, how our institutions work. We're very aware of these things. There's the Occupy movement. There's other things that are just raising consciousness around the globe. So I was introduced to it through colleagues who had the same concerns, the same passion, and I was just thrilled to be a part of it. So it actually was, I think, initially a project that came out of Arizona State University, ASU, and there was a vision to really expand it nationally, so a team came together around that. Nationally and internationally, and we're very excited to share it with students this fall. So coming in October, CelebrateUMonth.org will be a free downloadable packet available widely to college students, and I'm thrilled about it.
I think that's fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you. Me too. I'm very proud to be a part of it.
No, I think that's wonderful. So for people who are interested in finding out more about your work, where can they find out more about you? Because I know your workshop's coming to Vancouver. And are you able to do coaching via Skype, et cetera, if somebody's interested in connecting with you directly?
Oh, absolutely. So the place to find out about me is at my website, jennyferry.com. So that's number one there. It's ferry, like a ferry boat. It's all spelled very simply. And specifically for the event that's coming up on Saturday, July 28th, your listeners could go to slowsexvancouver.eventbrite.com, and that would be a full description and registration for the workshop. And I'll have time while I'm in town, because I plan to be in Vancouver for about a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks. So there'll be opportunity for people to work with me one-on-one in private coaching while I'm in town. And yes, I do coaching via Skype as well. So all of that information is available on my website.
That's fantastic.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I think what you're doing with the college students, the project is fantastic. I'm excited you're going to be in town to bring it to the adults as well. I want to flash forward to 15 years in the future. And on a personal level, I'd love to see what you're doing with the Celebrate You, taking it to high school students and then to elementary school students. And if that's something that you'd like to do as well, I'd love for you to just paint me a picture of what that would look like.
Oh, that's great. Thank you. I love this question, Caroline. It feels really good. So there's two things that come up for me. One is what I'd really love to see. You know, it's great for me to be able to work on this project that's going out to college students. I'm very excited about it. But I would love parents to be having these discussions with their children. I would love for them to be having developmentally appropriate, open conversations around sexuality that don't involve shaming, that don't involve taking the taboo away, so that we're growing up with a much more healthy understanding of human sexuality from a much younger age.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one piece. I would love to see that work just be a part of our culture, right? 15 years from now, that would be delightful. That it's not uncommon for parents to have very comfortable conversations, for that to be much more part of the mainstream. And the second piece really, you know, I'm so glad you brought up 50 Shades of Grey earlier, because what I love to say is there's 50 shades of relationship configuration available. You know, we've come up within a paradigm of, it's black or white, it's monogamy or non-monogamy. I just don't know. I think that's a place where people, I'd love to see 15 years from now that people are exploring all sorts of different variation within their sexuality, within relationship configuration, and the way that they approach sexuality. I would love to see that. So, you know, I know that's a little edgy to say and to put out there, and I want to be really clear that I'm not for or against anything, monogamy or non-monogamy. I'm just saying that I really think as part of our human sexual experience, it's we're just scratching the tip of the iceberg, and there's so much more there than we know.
That's awesome. And for couples that are coming in that may be experiencing bed death, because I know I was actually chatting about your workshop to a couple people just mentioning I was having you on the show. And that came up twice actually yesterday in conversations. People who don't usually speak about that stuff with me actually brought it up about bed death that they'd been experiencing, longtime partners, etc. So I'm very excited that your book is coming out as well, and that people can meet with you one-on-one or as a couple while you're in town, as well as actually take your workshops. I think that's fantastic.
Thank you. Yeah, and this is a great place for anyone who's experiencing that, singles or couples, where they're just like, wow, how do I create more sex in my life, right? Nourishing, generative, enriching sex. How do I do that? Come to the workshop. I'd love to tell you.
No, I think that's fantastic. We're going to take a really quick short break, and when we come back, we're going to be chatting a little bit more. You're listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be right back. And I just sound oh so breathy when I say that. I'm not quite sure why.
Saturday, July 21st, is the Catalano Music and Art Festival, Vancouver's biggest free outdoor music event, featuring six stages showcasing over 30 of Vancouver's top musical performers, including the Zolas, Ben Sinister, Jeremy Fisher, Catherine Calder, Lady Hawk, Siskiyou, and many, many more. Plus, eclectic pods of distinctive local artisans, street performers, and a host of other festivities. Stroll down West 4th Avenue from Burrard to McDonald's, and you'll be captivated by the electric energy of the festival. Don't miss it.
An exploration of sound, art, nature, and the infinite. Motion. Notion. July 19th to 23rd in a spectacular mountainous location near Golden, BC. Check out five stages with 27 headliners, including The Crystal Method, Dirty Phonics, Savoy, Baranoise, Gaudi, John Double O Fleming, Subvert, and others. Motion. Notion. July 19th to 23rd, Golden, BC. Tickets and info at motionmotion.com.
And we are back in Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. And if you're just joining us now, I've been chatting to the lovely, the sexy Jenny Ferry, who is going to be in town on July 28th in Van City. Yes, she is. From 1 to 5, she is going to be doing a wonderful workshop on slow sex and orgasmic meditation. Hey, I said it right this time. Yay. So,
yay.
So, Jenny, I have a question for you. Since you've been doing this work, what is a 50 Shades of Grey moment you've had?
I haven't read the book, but I would say every day is a 50 Shades of Grey moment for me, right? I never know what's going to show up in my practice and in my personal life. I think that's one of the greatest things about being conscious around your sexuality and intimacy is being open to new experiences, being open to new connections, being really present with what shows up. So, I'm trying to think of something really juicy for you, Caroline. But, you know, it's I've been on the road for the past 2 weeks, and I'm away from my 7-year-old daughter. So I've had I've had opportunity to create some interesting experiences while I've been on the road.
And, of course, I so want you to share them, but that just totally piqued my interest. So,
You know, mamas need playtime, too.
Very much so. Actually, that would be a really nice place to touch in as well. Sometimes people, after they've had children, almost forget the relationship part. And besides telling them to come to the workshop, if there's any tips that you could recommend as well, just in terms of to not forget that you're in a relationship, that it's not just the baby anymore.
Yes. Oh, that's such a great one. I'm so glad you brought that up. And, you know, one of the things I have really enjoyed about the practice of orgasmic meditation is it's a 15-minute contained sexuality practice. And it gives you enough time to create a mini experience with your partner. If you don't have time, right, new parents are generally tired and overwhelmed and don't know how they're going to fit one more thing into their schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a very simple, nourishing way to create connection and intimacy in just 15 minutes a day.
Wow. And it's one of those things, if you don't have 15 minutes to work on something for yourself and your partner, that's saying something right there.
Mm-hmm. Everyone has 15 minutes, and it's easy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It feels good and it's easy. So it's a great place to start. I wish I had this tool, right? But as a new mom, I wish I had had this tool and knew that there was a way for me to create sexual connection with not necessarily having to be engaged in sex. So I will create a little bit of distinction there. And that was what... I think everybody wins. It gives everyone an opportunity to explore connection in a different way, still through the doorway of sexuality. And yet it also gives enough space if there's so many other things going on in life that you can have this mini experience. You can create this and just have some time to connect.
Mm.
And then create those other times, right, when it's a little bit more for busy parents to make time, you know, make sure the kids are at grandma's or something like that. It takes a little bit more effort, a little bit more challenging to create huge blocks of time for them to enjoy their sex. This is a way to do that easily on a regular basis.
And is there a way with the meditation, will that help with some of the guilt and shame factor that sometimes where it's like, I should be having sex with my partner. I should.
Mm.
So it becomes a chore as opposed to something you want to do because you really want the intimacy and the connection.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I actually think it's very individual in terms of what kind of experience they have. What I would like to say is that the practice of orgasmic meditation is a sexuality practice. That's what I would say is most closely aligned, like the meditation part of it, is because we get the orgasmic part, right?
Yeah.
Okay, we're on board there. And it's a female-centric practice with manual stimulation of the genitals. I'll say that.
Okay.
But the meditation part, what I like to say is for people who have practiced Vipassana or insight meditation, that's the place to look. It's just being very present with what comes up for you in that moment, right, where your focus is on the point of connection. In this case, it's finger to clitoris. So there's staying with that sensation in the moment. Shame may come up, guilt may come up. It depends on the individual. But just to stay with it, just to stay with whatever shows up and to gain more insight around it. I can say in my own personal practice, it was in observing these things as they came up through the practice of orgasmic meditation. I was really able to gain more wisdom and clarity, understanding, compassion for myself moving forward. And also gained more sensation and more what I would call fluidity and flexibility that showed up in my sex.
I think that's a beautiful thing.
More, better sex, that's a good thing.
It is. And just that connection and intimacy, too.
Because I think absolutely, beings, absolutely, right.
We need to be connected.
Yeah. And the key component here is you are creating conscious connection, conscious intimacy, and enjoying it. It becomes pleasurable for you, and you follow your natural desire.
In a world right now where there's a lot of things like reality TV, social media, etc., how can we stay connected, like, in terms of actually getting together offline, just as a society in general?
Yeah, that's a great question, because that's so true. I mean, we think we are connected because we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're texting someone, you know, on our phone. We feel we're connected, but I would also say it's that very light or superficial connection. It's not really nourishing. And I would really ask your listeners to take more time for personal connection, you know, face-to-face, one-on-one contact. Actually reach out and touch the person you're with, right? We're a very touch-deprived society.
Yes.
That's a big piece of when I meet with someone. I want to have eye contact with them. I want to feel their presence with me. So I would say create more opportunities for that. And not to, you know, to remember to keep those face-to-face, in-person connections. Really be conscious around creating those on a regular basis.
And I'm going to go full circle 15 years from now in terms of doing more work with children and with high school students, where they're growing up, where this is part of the what they consider society. How do we encourage them to connect with people offline?
I think people are naturally going to be drawn in that direction.
Okay.
I actually think with the level of consciousness being more and more expanded, raised, I think that's going to be a natural extension of what we're going to desire and want from our experiences. You know, there's a little bit of a fear monger out there around, like, oh, we're just going to all go into this virtual world and we'll never have human connection again. I've seen quite the opposite. Because technology has shown up, there's been much more demand, much more desire for this tactile, for being in sensation. And I just say engage with your environment, engage with other people. There's a reason why meetup.com exploded, right? And people want to get together for face-to-face interaction. But I actually think, Caroline, that, you know, we're the ones who are struggling right now. And I think 15 years from now, children and high school students, youth, they're not going to be struggling. I think they're actually going to be much more supportive, much more engaged in those types of interactions.
No, that's good. I have hope for that then. That's awesome.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
I'm inspired by my daughter. She's 7.5. I'm inspired by her, right? I'm so excited. 15 years from now, you know, I can't wait to see what she grows up into and how she connects with people, because this is a part of our interaction.
No, that's really awesome. So, you've got a book coming up. You've got the project coming up in October. You're here for workshops. What else is up for you for the next year? You've got a lot.
Oh, my plate is full. So I like to create space so I can do things like this, get out on the road and meet people. I mean, it's just been delightful. I started in Portland just over a week ago. I'm in Seattle right now. I'm chomping at the bit to get to Vancouver next week, and there's lots of folks I'm looking to connect with. Hopefully you're included in that. Like, love to be able to meet up face to face. That's where I really thrive. It's such a big part of my work. So, I have my hands full, my plate full with getting the book done and this huge Celebrate You month that's coming up in October. So that's where my attention is right now.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. And just before we leave the show, I'd just love for you to plug your website one more time. So I just encourage people to come and sign up for your workshop on the 28th as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you very much, Caroline. Yes, in general, finding out more about me is at jennyferry.com, JennyFerry.com. And then specific information, the description, and to register for the workshop, Introduction to Slow Sex and Orgasmic Meditation, that's happening on Saturday afternoon, July 28th from 1 to 5. Your listeners could find that information at slowsexvancouver.eventbrite.com, and that's eventbrite.com.
And I'll try and embed it tomorrow in my website as well, so then that way they can take a look there too.
Great, thank you.
You're welcome. Well, up next is Hans von Claus's Misery Hour. He's a very sexy man to be miserable with. He'll be guiding us to the wee hours with his ambient music and his super hot voice. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We're going to be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. In the meantime, check out jennyferry.com and sign up for that workshop because it's going to be pretty awesome. Have a great night, everyone. Bye-bye.